broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Refresh Your Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, coming to you live during tax season. Woo! Woo! You feeling it?
There was a little less woo in your woo there than I was expecting, but
yeah,
I thought you were going to say coming the spring training season or March Madness.
Yeah.
Springs in the air, you know, all these great things that remind you it's time to file your tax returns and also contribute to your IRA.
We're popping antidepressants over here and just trying to hold it together. I don't even know what spring training and March Madness is. This time of year, tax season.
This is true.
Hey, we got to start the show on a good note. So no more Debbie Downer. I'm going to pick myself up here. I'm going to perform for our amazing listeners. Thank you for listening. If you're new to this show, Matt and I are both tax attorneys and we have a sister accounting firm. We help clients around the country. We have our trust company, self-directing retirement accounts, and we're just about saving taxes, building wealth, living the dream. And our show every week is trying to help you do the same. Okay. Was that more upbeat? Did I pass any mustard there?
I love it. You're such a showman, you know, you come out of the slump and you're just for the fans, the audience, you know, just a showman. That's why you're on TV, guys. Mark Kohler on KTLA. You got to check it out on social media.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's kind of a big,
another step
Los Angeles. You've heard of it.
I moved from the couch to the news desk.
Kind of a big place. What were you talking about?
Well, I was talking about taxes.
Promotion? Okay. They didn't want your picks for the Sweet 16?
Yeah, they did not have me on the show to talk about my March Madness. ESPN is not ringing. They're not calling. But it was cool being on KTLA and the Netflix studios there in Hollywood, on right off Sunset Boulevard, walk in the studio. But it was a little pressure. I thought I was going to be on the couch. See, moving from
Did you bump into anybody?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, tell your story. Sorry.
Adam Sandler was there earlier that week, but I didn't bump into him. But Netflix is a machine. I mean, they are producing content, movies and shows with high-end stars in their studios. It was like going to Universal Studios, Netflix campus. It's crazy.
Wow.
Anyway, but what I was saying was going from the couch to the news desk was a lot of pressure because, see, normally I'm one-on-one, I'm on a stool, I'm on the couch, but then they're like, no, come on up to the news desk. I'm like, oof.
It's like the big kid table at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's the big kid table. I had to. And when you're talking to two people live in LA rather than on the couch with, you know, Des Moines, Iowa afternoon Saturday show, you got a little more pressure. So,
okay.
Sorry, right. If anybody from Des Moines, I'm not taking any shots. I mean, I'm sure it's high quality news there and very important. But.
Yeah. I mean, they do get the presidential candidates to drop in. So
They do.
You know, maybe they'll have Mark Kohler too.
Yeah, someday. Okay, well, today's topic, Matt, see if you can sex it up. Sorry, PG. See if you can make it exciting and attractive. What is our, what's our topic about today?
Oof. Well, we got to talk about it, guys. What do you do if you owe the IRS? I can't sex that up. You know, that is just, it's not exciting. But I mean, the number one expense for business owners, for people who are self-employed, is taxes. You know, if you're making money, you got this silent partner in the game with you. You know, you might forget about them every once in a while, but you don't remember you always remember the initials IRS, and you got to be sending them money. What happens if you haven't been? What happens if you got behind? What happens if they're chasing you down? We want to talk about it, and we'll try and keep it interesting. There's, of course, many celebrities who have been ensnared in this that have some good lessons to be learned. but there's a lot of options out there. And that's what I want to make sure everyone knows is you have plenty and plenty of options. You've got to pick a lane. You've got to get engaged in it. Sitting back and waiting for the clock to tick is just not going to work. Your number is going to come up.
Yeah. And some of you may be listening to this show incognito saying, you know, I owe the IRS, but you don't want to tell anybody. So you don't know who to go to for help or ask and talk about it. So we know a lot of you listening are doing it on the DL. That would be meaning down low. If you have teenagers,
if you're
as I do, so I can talk teenage. So on the DL, we're trying to keep this important. We know that many of you are listening. Everybody owes the IRS from time to time. So this is, you should, and you know, let's start with that one point, and then we're going to get into our tax and legal tip. But I want to make this point for everybody on the show right now. You're not alone. A lot of people, they get very depressed. They feel like a failure. They feel like the IRS is going to come knock on their door or pound down the door. They're scared. They'll go into different modes of operation, which we're going to talk about later. But the big thing I want to say right now at the outset of the show is it's okay. The sun will come up tomorrow and we're going to get through this. And we've all had to owe the IRS before. Matt and I have. Can I say that? I mean, sometimes you owe the IRS, either on April 15th or October 15th. I got to write a check, you know, and it's no fun. What are the penalties? What are the interest? What are my options? We've all been there, so none of you should feel like a loser.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people come at this from different angles. Some people are self-employed and they've had good things going on. They're making money now, but they're not used to paying the IRS, you know, that you may have been someone like that, that got your taxes come out of your paycheck in a prior job. Now you're self-employed and you just didn't understand that you need to pay so much to the IRS, but it's a good thing because you've been making money. So you just need to plan to get on track. Sometimes it's people, business owners who they have a down year or two and they get behind on just sending money to the IRS. Sometimes there's other things in life just get in the way. It could be medical expenses or divorce or death or major things that happen in your life that are out of your control. So there's a lot of reasons why you may be in this situation. Like, you know, there's no shame in that. We just want to talk about how to address it. So we're here for you. We want to give you some good tips and strategies.
Yeah, I love it. And we're going to talk more. I've got some horror stories that I've helped, actually had one-on-one with clients. I know Matt was a prosecutor back in the day before he started to be a planner. And I know he's got a tax case that's really interesting. And we had some people that showed up in our conference room 10 years ago and they were scared to death and owed the IRS. And we did our best to help them. Two of them ended up in jail. And I mean, they weren't clients of ours before that. So we've got some stories. So we'll tell you, we'll tell you how far it can go when it gets really bad and where you shouldn't be worried. Too many people worry excessively. So we'll draw that line in the sand. Okay. Now, if you're a regular listener, we've got our tax and legal tips, something for everybody, something new always every week that we just bump into during the week in our consults. And Matt, you wanted to run with the tax tip. Am I right?
Yeah. Okay. I'll give a tax tip. Let's do it.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right, now this tax tip, for those of you that have been paying your taxes and, you know, maybe you're getting refunds from the IRS, I still want to give you a good tax tip. Okay. And maybe this is something to do with your refund or that extra cash you have on hand because you're not sending all the IRS. Contribute to your IRA by April 15th for 2018. 2018 contributions, if you hadn't made them yet and you qualify, you can still make them until April 15th. It's $5,500 for 2018 contributions. By the way, 2019 and forward at $6,000, but 2018 still $5,500. And it's a great way to get money in for you, a spouse, maybe even kids that have been working in your business, maybe even kids that were making money. Maybe they had a job, a part-time job there in high school or junior high. Maybe they got a part-time job. They got a W-2 somewhere. And you can help throw in some money into their Roth IRA for them. Maybe you paid them out of your business last year. Love getting money into a Roth IRA for your kids. I've been doing that for my oldest and helping with that as she helps in my business. So it's a cool strategy. Just remember, you still have time for 2018 contributions. So take advantage of it until April 15th.
Okay. And I'm going to go straight to our newsletter And I'm going to bring up some of these facts and figures. If those of you that haven't had a chance to open it this week, if you're new, we have a free newsletter we've been doing for 12 years now, literally 12 years, every week, a newsletter with deadlines, tips, articles, upcoming webinars, events. Here's some exact numbers. You have until April 15th to contribute to your health savings account. If you had a high deductible plan last year, it's $3,450 if you're single, $6,900 if you're married or head of household.
That's a tax deduction above the line on your tax return. Even if you're just taking the standard exemption, which a lot of people are doing now because it's so good, it's so high now, that's an above the line tax deduction. So you're still, that's huge for the HSA contribution.
It is. And folks, if you want to even put the money in there, if you say, well, Mark, I don't have $3,000 or $6,000, put the money in, reimburse yourself for all your medical expenses for the last year. Mm-hmm. And just funnel it through it. You just generated a tax write-off and it took you 2 days. Put it on a credit card, put it in the account, pull it right back out, pay off your credit card. And you just got to make sure what's the dollar amount of your medical expenses, dental, eyes, copays, prescription drugs, physical therapy, massages, whatever for your ailment. It could even be a service animal if you have been prescribed one. Okay. Mm. Number two, contributions to a Coverdell college IRA. So these are college IRAs that can grow tax-free and come out tax-free for college up to age 30 are $2,000 per child up until April 15th. You can put that money in there. Now, you don't get a tax deduction for that, but the beauty of it is you can turn around and invest it. You can self-direct it and grow it. And when your kids are ready for college, pull out everything tax-free all day long.
Yeah. Now I have just on the Coverdell idea, I have a client, excellent self-directed investor, usually invests as Roth, just recently, and he's going to be speaking at my self-directed IRA summit, by the way, which is going to be June 1st in Chicago. They'll be getting announcements in the newsletter. The website's getting updated right now, but it's June 1st in Chicago for the self-directed IRA summit. But he'll be speaking there. He did a real estate, sold an option on real estate for over $75,000 profit with a small option fee that he got to, that he found this property. It was a pre-development lot. And now that money's back in the Coverdell, it's funding his kids' college. How awesome is that?
Totally tax-free
on that gain. He found a good real estate deal that he could get under contract with the option, able to sell it. So lots of things you can do with it.
Now, and if any of you say, well, I make too much money, because there is a phase out. If you make, I'm just going to say generally, I don't have it up in front of me. I could pull it up quickly, but I'll just say this. If you make more than $100,000 a year, you want to double check the rules to see if you make too much money, because then the government says, well, you can't use a college covered IRA, but you can gift the money to your grandpa and grandma, mom and dad, and then have them put it into the grandchild's covered IRA. So the contributor cannot make too much money. Well, if you make too much money, just gift it to your aunt. That's and then she can put it in the kid's account. It's so easy to get around. So don't stress about that. Then we've got the regular IRA contributions. Those are due by April 15th if you want a tax deduction. And if you wanted to do the backdoor Roth IRA for last year, so if you made too much money or you already maxed out your 401k at work, you can do what's called the backdoor Roth. You may say, well, I can't do an IRA because I make too much money, or I can't do a Roth because I max out my 401k at work. Oh yeah, you can. You can do what's called the backdoor Roth IRA. And the architect, the visionary that has coined that phrase and made it a household name across America is my partner, Matt Sorensen.
Well, I'm riding the wave. That's for dang sure. I've been doing it myself. So, but if you go to my blog, sdrahandbook.com, I got a comprehensive article on that, the backdoor Roth IRA. It takes a couple steps. So it's not just like flipping the switch and you got it. But it's a cool strategy for those with high income. And of course, at Directed IRA, we can help with all these accounts.
IRA. Matt's humble. You know, he says he's riding the wave. There's other people on the wave, but Matt is the Kelly Slater of the wave. I mean, he's just shredding that wave.
That's true.
He's the one everybody's watching. He's the industry leader. Okay, yeah. So Matt, I have hijacked and threw out a few of those deadlines and dollar amounts, but everybody, you got 2 weeks great write-offs, great ways to generate some deductions and fund some accounts that you can turn around and create an LLC with. You'll love it.
Nice.
All right.
All right. You got a legal tip?
I do. Okay. And
you're on assignment for it.
Let's do the riff and then I'll give a disclaimer.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, my legal tip is part tax tip as well. And you know what? I'm not going to apologize for it. Just deal with it because
taxes are the law.
Taxes are the law. And they're so intertwined. I cannot do a legal deal with partners without talking about taxes every time. So if you think your lawyer is, you know, just a wonderful lawyer, but knows nothing about taxes, you're missing half of the party. You know, you're leaving at 9 o'clock. You're missing the rest of the party. You've got to be there for the whole topic, the whole conversation.
Have you had a hot dog with only ketchup and then you put mustard on it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much better.
It is.
I mean, it's kind of what it is.
Yeah, it's the ketchup and the mustard. Let's do it. Okay, so I'm going to give a real world example here from a conversation this morning. Now, I told my client I was going to share this idea, but I am going to, of course, not mention my client's name, nor am I going to mention the state and the exact dollar amounts, because we're all about attorney-client privilege and privacy. But this concept is something we do all the time. And this morning, I freaking hit a home run, Matt. It was one of those days. It was like this morning. I'm getting up. I'm hitting base hits. I had a couple calls. I was running late. I'm running behind. I'm doing the best. And then I get on the call with this client. We're talking. And then all of a sudden, I see this ball. Like time stood still. The ball came up. I could see just the threads of the baseball spinning. And I just knocked out. Okay, so here it is. Anticipation. So the client's got this deal. He's got a landowner with a bunch of greenhouses. So he's got this about, I'm going to say 5 acres. Now, I'm changing some of the numerical facts here because I want to be very private. But let's say it's 5 acres and he's got all these greenhouses on it. He's got an idea that he wants to grow some things. Let me leave it at that.
Gotcha.
Okay. He wants to grow. But he doesn't know what he's doing and he needs the connections and he needs the money to do it. But he knows he's sitting on a gold mine with these greenhouses that could really produce a lot of product.
Okay.
Now, my client comes into the picture.
Profits.
Yeah. Okay. And he's got a lot of connections to money. He also knows this growing industry a little bit. He knows some people that can put together an operation quite quickly. And he's like, this owner reaches out to him. He's like, hey, do you have any ideas here? You know what? All right. I'll put together the deal. And he goes, I don't need any money from the growing operation. I'll just put together the real estate and the sale here and I'll marry you with a grower so that we can get this thing going. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
So hear me out. So he's got the landowner with the greenhouses. He knows a grower over here in XYZ state that's like, hey, I can set up operations. I got the equipment. I got the lights. Everything we need to get this thing going.
Okay.
And it's legal in our state. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then he's got and I'm going to use this word liberally, investor that wants to get in on the action too. Okay. Well, we don't want to call it an investor. And this guy is willing to take 10% on a 5-year note. He'll come in and loan my guy money, but he's got to buy the land. So in a nutshell, I want to tell you, this is the type of phone calls we have. We get creative. So the lender is going to give our client 500 grand to buy the property that's really worth $1 million. But the seller says, I'll sell you the property for $1 million, but I want first right of refusal to buy it back for 500 grand when that time comes. And so, okay, because he's got to lean against the property. He doesn't want to sell the property. He still wants to keep it in the family, but he's willing to sell it to my client for 500 grand as long as he has first right of refusal to buy it back. The lender is willing to loan 500 grand and he just wants 10% in a first trust deed lien against the property. The grower just wants access to the building so he can start his operations. And the landowner is cool with that. So the grower will pay rent of, let's say, $15,000 a month for these greenhouses. The borrower is going to end up with about $10,000 a month with principal and interest with a 5-year AM on this $500,000. So in 5 years, the note's paid off. My client owns the property outright for $500,000. And if he wants to sell it, he's got to give first right to the original seller. And if the seller doesn't want it, he can turn around and sell it for $1 million. And so what's the benefit to my client? He gets to keep the difference between the rent and the loan payment. All he did was put the deal together, $15,000 a month in loans, $10,000 a month in debt service. He put together the seller of the land, the lender, and the grower that's going to come in and pay the rent. So he's the middleman. $5,000 a month for just putting the deal together. Now, it's taking him a month or so to put all the pieces together. I'm drafting the LLC. We're getting the contracts together. There's 3 contracts involved. I'll leave it at that. So everything's looking good. We're talking. I'm like, oh, this is great. This will be a good deal. And then all of a sudden, the lights go on. I'm like, hold it. You got other stuff going on. Are you going to live on this $5,000 a month? No, he's like, I'm just trying to make a good deal. I'm trying to build my wealth. I'm like, okay, don't do the deal. He's like, what? What are you saying, Mark? Because I go, you're going to pay too much in taxes. $5,000 a month? That's $60,000 a year you're going to pay in taxes. Don't do the deal. He's like, Mark, you are so stupid. I'm like, here's the deal. I tell my client, let's do the deal on your Roth IRA. He's like, what? I go, your Roth IRA can form the LLC that's going to buy the property with the first trustee note. The buyer doesn't want a personal guarantee. All he wants is a lien against a property that's already worth $1 million. He's happy. Your Roth IRA owns the LLC. It gets the $5,000 a month for the next 5 years. At the end of 5 years, the property is paid off. It's worth $500,000. He's like, what? I go, you're going to drop 60 months of $5,000 a month. That's $300,000 on top of a $500,000 property. At the end of this equation, you will have $800,000 sitting in your Roth IRA, tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that. And I go, that's why you paid the big bucks. And I go, and what's the fail-safe? If something goes bad, all he has to do is foreclose on the property. Or just give first right of refusal to the buyer, I mean, the original mm-hmm. seller, and he can buy it for $500,000 or he can go sell it for $1 million. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, the guy doesn't even accept it. The renter, the grower leaves, he sells the property for $1 million. He drops over $500,000 into his Roth IRA, tax-free,
mm-hmm.
done, asset protected. Anyway, so those are the type of deals that get really fun. So when you call me or our attorneys, that's what we're trying to do. So maybe it seems complicated for some of you out there, but when you're putting a deal together, sometimes it's called opportunity shifting. It's better to let your IRA do the deal than you do the deal. Mm-hmm. There mm-hmm. you go.
Love it, man. Over the fence, you know, probably had a couple guys on base too there too.
It's true. I scored
a few runs there.
Yeah.
Oof. Not just a solo home run. Yep. Cool. Love it.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about the big topic at hand.
Is it time to hit the topic?
I think it is. I think we got to dig into it.
All right. Point it's important. Number one, let's reiterate. Point number one is don't stress. You're not alone. Do not freak out. Get help. This is all important. And I'm going to add step two in that is don't put your head in the sand. Don't ignore the situation. And Matt, you were talking about that a moment ago too, which is, so if you owe the IRS even $1,000, mm-hmm. the worst thing you can do is ignore it. And I'll let you elaborate because you were saying.
Yeah, I think people make the mistake to think, oh, you know, it's going to go away. These letters that show up every month that are all nasty from the IRS, I don't really need to read them.
They'll forget about me.
Yeah. And by the way, what those letters are, is those are notices. And there's certain tax laws and procedures the IRS has where they have to send you that. And every time you forget to respond or you fail to respond, they get a move down the map or down the road, so to speak, on your case. And they get to get nastier and nastier. And now they can lien you. Now they can throw a lien on your property. Now they can garnish your bank account without you knowing. Now you can show up to work and your employer's like, oh, you've got a wage garnishment on your paycheck. So you need to be proactive in those letters and figure out your strategy. And we're going to go over the options here. So we're going to lay them out. What can I do? But yes, keep in mind.
I want to highlight it if I could, Matt. I think some people need to know that it only gets worse when you ignore the IRS. And I've dealt with, I've talked to so many IRS agents. I can't even count them over my career. Matt, is that you drinking a Diet Mountain Dew? Or is that the hard stuff? Is that regular Dew?
This is Diet Dew.
Okay.
It's the only diet with Dew in it. So some of the people in the office started ordering this. So I kind of got on it. I've tried to get off soda. I don't love soda, but it's not soda. It's Diet Mountain Dew. It's different.
That's right. It's its own genre. It's its own liquid.
Delicious.
I love it. Okay. I'm just impressed. I'm proud of you. Making the, you know, it's a slippery slope. Pretty soon you'll be on a rock star. Just a morning, you know.
I know. It's a gateway soda. It's a gateway drink.
Yeah. I'm already in rehab I'm drinking my rock star here. Okay. Here's the thing. The IRS just wants to know what's going on. And what I was saying is I have talked to a lot of IRS agents during my career. They're not that bad. They're not crazy.
Yeah.
They just are like, what's going on? And there are methods to get on payment plans and communicate with the IRS, but you ignore them, you're going to piss them off. Then you've got problems. Yeah.
They think you have like a guilty conscience, you know. It's like the police that, you know, you don't call and they're like trying to figure out what the heck happened and you're not responding. And, you know, they're like, they think something's worse going on than what they even know about.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't let them presume the worst. So, yeah. And I'll say this too, it's careful because I don't want to freak people out. But on the other hand, I don't want people to think, oh, it's okay, it's going to go away. You know, I mean, people do go to jail for not paying their taxes. I just want to say that. Wesley Snipes, okay, wasn't paying his taxes. He sent in a tax return to the IRS claiming a refund. And he had not, I think he'd paid in a very little amount to the IRS. And this is like at the time of, you know, U.S. Marshals, I think, you know, I mean, he was big in Hollywood at the time. I don't know, his career's gone a little downhill since he went to prison for tax evasion. But, you know, I just imagined the guy at the IRS that got the Wesley Snipes tax return and had, you know, hardly any income and demanded a refund. You know, they're like, what? Is this Wesley Snipes? U.S. Marshals? That Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
He's requesting a refund and he's hardly paid anything and has no income? That can't be right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and so he went down that path, getting the letters, and then, you know, he ended up in prison for tax evasion. So now hopefully you're not in that situation. You're being honest about what you owe. You just end up owing it. But you got to be proactive and still not freak out. There are solutions, but be proactive.
Okay. I love it. All right. Now, I'm writing these points down because we're going to summarize them at the end. The third point is let's just talk about pre-April 15th. I talk about this a little bit in a YouTube video I shot recently, but I know some of you don't get to my YouTube channel. Some of you do. That's fine. So you enjoy podcasting because you're on the road and this is easier for you. So if you've seen my YouTube video, this will be a little bit of a repeat, but you'll remember this. Pre-April 15th, if you owe the IRS, and that could be some of you right now listening to the show, you're like, I owe the IRS $500 or I owe them $1,000 or I owe them $50,000, whatever it is. If you can't pay them by April 15th, still file an extension. Now you may say, well, an extension is not an extension to pay. It's just an extension to file. That's right. But if you don't file an extension, now it's a failure to file. And the penalty for failure to file is a lot more than a failure to pay. So let me repeat this. If I can't pay by April 15th, I'll still buy some time to file my tax return, but I won't send in any money. Your cost for that is only 6% per annum and 0.5% per month. So think of this. If you're 4 months late paying your taxes, so you go from April to May to June to July till August. So let's say you take 4 months, save up some money, and then pay the IRS. You're only out 4% in penalties and 6% per annum. So it would only be a third of 6%, so 2%. So you're only out 6% on that money you owe the IRS. That's better than a credit card, people. It's okay.
Yeah.
But if you don't file an extension, the failure to file penalty is 5% per month on top of failure to pay
Ouch.
And the interest. So you've got interest, failure to pay penalty, and failure to file penalty. This is when it snowballs. So dude, everybody out there, if you're listening,
yeah, loan shark rates from the IRS.
So bad, because the IRS is more pissed if you don't tell them what's going on. If you at least file your return and go, hey, I can't pay you, but here's my return. Or I can't pay you, but here's my extension. I'll get to my return before October 15th. They're cool with that. They're like, hey, Matt Sorensen's staying in touch. Cool. The penalty's not going to kill you. But you don't send an extension, gets ugly. So yeah, make sure you're extending.
Yeah. And now what about all those people, though, that haven't filed? Like, you haven't filed 17 or 16 or 15, you know? And I know there's a lot of people in that, you know, situation where they've just not filed. And that is where your first order of business is: get organized, do the best you can on getting information, get returns filed. That is like, you know, that is priority one. You got to get on the map here first. Yeah. So you may be in that situation. No, that is your first step. And I know that is sometimes the hard one, especially if it's like, I don't even remember what expenses I had. Maybe you're a business owner in 16, but you've got to piece it together the best you can.
Yeah, and you do. And even if it's not completely accurate and you're not cheating, you can ask the IRS for a transcript, which will tell you what they know. So they're going to see any W-2s on your account or 1099s, and then at least report that and get a tax return off. The sooner you file, then the failure to file penalty is over. It can add up 5% per month until a maximum of 25%. So if you owe the IRS $10,000, they're going to hit you with another $2,500 just on the failure to file. So hurry and file as soon as you can. Then the failure to pay interest and penalties go up. And
yeah.
Okay. So get it done, Matt. I like that. Get old years done first. Mm-hmm. I'm writing this down. And here's an interesting fact. I shared this on the news show yesterday in LA, is there's over $1.5 billion of unclaimed refunds of people that don't file, where actually they were getting a refund. Yeah. They were actually owed a refund and they're like, I don't want to file. If you don't file within 3 years, you lose any refunds you were entitled to.
Yeah.
So you've got
if you owed and you didn't file over 3 years, you still owe. It's not a two-way street, by the way.
Yeah. But there's refunds out there.
Yeah.
And you never know. You might get the earned income tax credit, child tax credits. There can be other credits there that you're not even aware of. And your employer may have withheld from you. And I have people come in all the time. Yeah, I haven't filed because I know I'm getting a refund. Well, go get it. You're giving the IRS an interest-free loan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Go get your money. Okay, let's talk about I filed and I owe.
Okay.
Or maybe I got my first letter from the IRS, or maybe I've gotten more than a few, and they're saying you owe X amount of dollars. I want to say the first option you have is a 120-day to pay option. Yes. That you can call up the IRS at whatever their 800 number, wait on the phone for an hour until you get to a person, and then you request and say, I want a 120-day to pay. I can pay the total amount due within 120 days. Now, for some of you, that's realistic. Some of you, it's possible. It's not a 100% guarantee. But that could be your first step. And it at least buys you time, because it'll stop the collection process. It'll stop any liens or garnishments going out. And that can give you time to figure out a plan. Maybe you get some money in. Maybe you are able to pay it off. But even if you aren't, that's a good first option to start, is to get the 120-day to pay. Get your crap together. Figure out step two if you have to go to step two.
And I want to add to make a couple ancillary thoughts on that. First, I'm just going to say it. After you file your extension April 15th, you have until October 15th to really get that money in and file. The failure to file penalty kicks in after October 15th if you did file an extension. And some people, again, will go, well, I still don't have the money, and then they skip October 15th again. Don't do that. So if you file an extension, you try to save up money during the summer, and you still can't pay, still file by October 15th. So, Matt, I just wanted to interject that, because some people say, oh, I file an extension, and then they wait till December or January the next year. No. You have until October 15th to get that tax return off and do it, even if you still owe. Okay. Yeah.
And there's no such thing as the extension to the extension.
Right. Okay. Okay. Now, and then I'm going to just add to Matt's 120 day request. He nailed it. And I just want to add, it does not stop the penalties or interest on the failure to pay. All it does is it stops them freaking you out with garnishment letters, lien letters, levy letters. And so it kind of relieves some stress. And
yeah,
that's a good thing. So 4 more months to just keep them off your back is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something, you know, if, you know, these tax liens show up on your credit, you know, obviously it can go get filed in the county where you live. So any real property gets liened, and you know, if you're buying or selling a home or anything, or real estate investment, this is going to be a problem for a long time, and you don't want to have to explain it for the next 7 and 8 years. So getting that word into the IRS stops that for now.
Yep. And I want to add one thing here too. The IRS will never call you. Please keep that in mind, because that scam is very common. Oh, we're the IRS and you owe, and we're going to start garnishing and liening your bank account. You need to go down to the bank right now and wire us $5,000 to stop this process. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. The IRS will never call you. Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right.
But they expect you to call them, remember. Yep.
Okay. So Matt, after the 120 days, you're corresponding in writing, or you call the IRS. They will never call you. So correct, you get these letters, you call the IRS, you beg for 120 days, and the collection stopped for a bit. Mm-hmm. And now we're 4 months down the road and you still owe.
Okay.
Next option.
Option one, installment agreement. Now, it's a little easier if you owe less than $52,000, because generally you can call the IRS, negotiate it by phone. You know, maybe you owe 20 grand, okay? And you can say, you know what? I'll send you $2,000 a month for the next 10 months. You know, maybe it's 2,100 because you're going to have some interest on it. And for the next 10 months, and that'll pay it off. And so you can kind of come up with the plan, as long as with the agent you're talking to, you know, they'll have some of your income information in front of them from the return. As long as it seems reasonable, they're going to go for it, okay? They want to, under 52, it's kind of a judgment call on their end. I'm sure they have some standards, but I've usually seen a lot of clients with success on just getting that set up. Now, if you owe more than 52 grand, it takes more work. You got to file financial information to the IRS. There's a financial statement you have to file that basically outlines what's your income, what are your assets. And it's a little painful giving this to the IRS, right? Because you owe them money and you're kind of divulging all your information and your assets, which they can use to then go, you know, put liens on. But you're giving that information, and then they have some formulas on how you calculate what your monthly payment should be to pay it back. So you have two ways to go on the installment agreement. If you're under 52, it's much, much easier to negotiate, because you don't have to provide a financial statement and all those forms. Over 52, a little more involved process. And there is a little small fee on it too, I believe, in getting the installment agreement. But a great, great option, probably the most common way. When someone owes a lot of money to the IRS and they get behind, the best method is the installment agreement. And that'll stop all collection activities as long as you stay active. I had an article about your passports, by the way. The IRS is revoking passports if you owe more than 52 grand a year, or starting to deny them. So you can keep your passport by getting on the installment agreement. It stops anything from hitting your credit on, with respect to the taxes. So just be on the ball on that. Installment agreement, probably the most common used tactic to get back caught up to speed with the IRS on taxes you agreed that are owed. Now, you may be like, I don't know that I owe these. I'm in a dispute with the IRS on a deduction or something, or they disallowed something. You may not want to do the installment agreement. The installment agreement is, yeah, I owe it. You agree to it. So use the installment agreement if you're in that scenario. If you're disputing it, or you have no ability to pay it back, we got some other options.
Okay. Oh, Matt, excellent comment. Now, I want you to highlight while we're here what the problem is if you get a lien. Now, if you owe more than $50,000, they have to approve the installment agreement in writing. They can't turn you down for an installment agreement if it's under 50 grand. But mm-hmm. if it's over 50 grand, you can still get it, but they're going to want to know what's going on. Like Matt said, and you have to disclose mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff. What happens when you have that lien and the article you wrote, Matt, as well?
Well, I mean, as I mentioned with the passport, you know, you can have a passport revoked if you owe more than 52 grand. That's the magic number as respect to the passport, or you will be denied. You can be denied a passport in that scenario. So the IRS and the State Department are sharing information now on delinquent taxpayers. But the lien, and the other thing with respect to the lien and why I want clients to be proactive is, if the lien hasn't gone out yet from the IRS, get your crap together and get an installment agreement. Even if you may break it and can't and don't know if you can keep it, you want to start doing everything you can to stop the lien from hitting your credit, because that's going to really affect your credit. And I'm serious. We get clients that are, you know, that have liens on their credit from an old tax debt, and they may have paid it off, and they still got to explain it every time they get a loan. You know, every time they close on a property, they still got to explain it. No, it's paid off. So, and here's the evidence that I paid it off. So you want to try and avoid that lien from hitting, even if it's like, well, I can pay it off in 6 months. Don't do that. Talk to the IRS, buy some time, do the 120 day to pay, get an installment agreement. You want to really avoid the lien from hitting.
I love it. Okay. Now, if you have, I want to add a point here too. You can get the failure to pay or late payment penalty removed if you can show reasonable cause. Now, you can read up in detail on this by going to the IRS website and just putting in their search window, reasonable cause for not paying taxes. But I'll give you a quick overview of the list. Death of a family member or someone very close to you. Unavoidable absence, such as being in rehab or jail. Held hostage in another country. That's a common one. I mean, that's really something that happens. So yeah. I was held hostage. I was in North Korea, and you know,
yeah.
I shouldn't even joke about that. Okay, destruction of your records due to fires, floods, or other casualties. Now that's very common.
That can happen. We see that.
Yep, see that all the time. Could not make payment or deposit due to civil disturbance, such as a mail strike or a riot. Very interesting. This is in the code. I'm just telling you. Unable to determine amount of tax for reasons beyond your control. Like maybe the bank where you were banking blew up, or I mean, maybe there was a problem trying to gather your records because your computer was stolen or something like that. And then received incorrect advice from a tax professional who is considered competent and trustworthy. Then you can go after your tax professional. We carry insurance for this very issue. Because we never want to be liable for that. We have to sign your return. But anyway, Matt, those are the reasonable cause points of view that I think are really helpful to know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
What if I don't agree? What if I got like deductions disallowed or really I can't even pay? Should I skip the installment agreement?
Well, you don't want to, it's funny, Matt, remember we had a text.
Better way to say it.
Yeah. It's funny, Matt and I both got texts last week from a client of ours that was like, hey, someone's garnishing my wages, you know, I want to fight this. We're like, hold it. If they're to the point of garnishing your wages, that fight's over. You lost.
Yeah. You're knocked out and on the mat right now, okay?
You missed your window to fight it. And the same thing goes with the IRS. If you want to contest that you do not owe the money, when you get that first letter, it gives you the time periods in writing in which to contest it. You can go through the dispute resolution process. You can file in tax court. What's often is clients will call us and say, hey, I'm not your client, but I've got this nasty letter from the IRS. Can I engage you to communicate with the IRS? And then, so we'll call the IRS and start negotiating and appeal it, which is another avenue. So there's dispute resolution, mediation, there's an appeal, then there's tax court. So you've got multiple ways to fight it. But if you wait, you miss the window. Then it's like, And clients do that all the time. They'll come in a year later. I owe the IRS 20 grand. I don't know them. And we're like, well, the chance to fight them was a year ago. Why are you coming now? Well, I just ignored it because I was afraid.
And I thought they'd figure it out. No, they're just going to send you the same thing over and over and over. They're not going to go investigate it on their own. So, yeah, you've got those options. I think IRS appeals, tax court and all that. But your last option though, and this is, you know, if you're like in dispute with it, or maybe you have a total inability to pay, you can do what's called an offer and compromise. Yeah. And so the IRS will grant you basically negotiate with you under an offer and compromise where sometimes you can settle and pay less than what they say you owe, but you have to show one of two things to get an offer and compromise. Doubt as to the liability, meaning the IRS was a little unreasonable in disallowing something on my return. And I may not really owe this money. So there's a doubt, do I really owe it? So there's a doubt to the liability. Or you have to show doubt as to collectability, meaning there's no way I can freaking pay this back. I owe so much money. I have no means to pay all this money back. IRS, you have to cut a deal with me. So if you can show one of those two things, doubt as to liability or doubt as to collectability, you can file an offer and compromise. And this is an involved process. Okay. This is not like you fill out a form, you check the box, and you make a deal to the IRS. Okay. You're going to disclose a lot of financial information on income and assets. You're going to bear all to the IRS. And now you're starting this process of trying to negotiate a settlement. Now I want to warn people, this is where the scams come. When you hear, you know, settle with the IRS for pennies on the dollar, call us at 1-800-TAX-SAVERS or whatever, you know, and we're going to fight hard for you. There's a lot of hype in that. And there's a lot of pennies on the dollar. That's BS.
Yeah.
That's very rare. You're going to see that scenario. So, but is this a legitimate option? Absolutely. There's tens of thousands of these done every year with the IRS, if not more. A very common way to try and resolve a dispute. If you've got the income or you've got the assets and you have no dispute that you owe the money, don't do the offer and compromise. Just do an installment agreement. You've got to have a case. You've got to have a reason why the IRS is going to cut a deal with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is so crazy. It just so important. Now I want to highlight a little bit here because when you do an installment agreement, I want to go back to that and make a couple important points. You have to, when you get this installment agreement, it has to be within 72 months, meaning you can't spread this thing out over 10 years.
Yeah.
So if you calculate this monthly payment, when you take whatever you owe the IRS plus penalties and interest, and then they divide it over 72 months. And that's your, and if you say, well, I can't make that payment even, that's when you start to think about an offer and compromise. Because if you sign an installment agreement and you can't even make that payment, then you have to show the IRS that your living expenses far exceed what you owe the IRS, even under an installment agreement. And that's going to be the first step in getting an offer and compromise approved, because that's really what they're looking for. They want to know how much can you afford to pay. And if it's enough, then we're okay. But if not, we want to move on. Another important point is that interest will still accrue on that installment agreement and potentially penalties. And I've been researching today just to see where the penalties still fall in this, even with an installment agreement. And so when you cut a deal on an installment agreement, you want to know, are there penalties continuing to accrue? How much are those penalties? What's the interest rate? And what's my monthly payment? And when will I be done with this thing? So you want to run all those numbers and make sure you have a clear understanding of how long this thing is going to last. Because if you could get away with no interest and no penalties, everybody would do an installment agreement. Hey, I get an interest-free loan from the IRS, put me on an installment agreement. The IRS is like, no. It's still going to suck, but at least we're not going to garnish wages. And
right. It's not going to ruin your credit and you're not going to lose your passport. And And you're not, you know, paying credit card rates, you know, and throwing it on a credit card at 20%, you know, interest. So, okay.
Now, I've got a couple points. May I?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other thing. I wanted to say, when does it get bad? And that's often a question. I had a client just this last year that said, they were literally fearful the IRS was going to come to their house and arrest them or something like that. It gets that bad when you ignore and ignore and ignore. You've maybe had an installment agreement, you didn't keep it, and the letters started coming again. You haven't done an offer and compromise, and the IRS is sending you letters saying they're going to levy your bank account, and you pull your credit and see a lien from the IRS. At that point, you're in dangerous waters because they could surprise you. They could come and start an action to sell your home. They could start, again, like we've said before, garnishing wages. Your employer's going to hear about this. That's going to be very awkward, could cause problems at work. It's going to be public record. You're going to get deluged with phone calls and letters from all these scam artists out there trying to cut deals for you. And that's when people really go into hiding. They just literally hope it's just going to go away, and they go into a state of depression. There's a suicide scenario that happens every day in America with this sort of thing. It really does. And so that's where you want to reach out for help before it gets that bad. But if you're communicating with the IRS and you've got an installment agreement and you're trying to pay, or you're in the middle of an offer and compromise, no one's coming to your house. The IRS is not going to knock down your door. But we have had to warn clients that you're in dangerous waters because they've just ignored. And I call the IRS and they're not happy. So avoid that level of problems.
Okay. All right. Well, let me just talk about a few things to keep in mind. We mentioned the beware of the, you know, settle for pennies on the dollar scam. But if you've been fighting this, I want to say, what can you do by yourself? And when do you need to engage a professional?
Good question.
What I would say is, if this 120 day to pay that we mentioned first, that's on you. Just call the IRS, buy yourself some time. Again, maybe you can pay it off. Maybe it's buying you time to figure out your next solution. But make that call. You can get that call in. Once you know, or once you know you file, then you've got money owing, or this could even be prior years, you've been getting the letters, make some contact, let the IRS know, hey, I'm sorting this out. I'm trying to get some money together. Give me 120 days to pay. Okay. You get the 120 days to pay. Now, if you're needing to get stuff still filed, you've got to engage an accountant, you know, to get those prior returns done. Sometimes if it's tax season, like right now, accountants are not excited to do prior year returns. So you may have to wait a little bit to get those prior year returns done. But you've got to get those returns filed. And then maybe you hire a lawyer or CPA to go fight the battle for you. Now, if you're owing less than 10, 20 grand, I don't know that it's worth paying a lawyer to go fight that battle for you. You're going to pay, you know, obviously attorney's fees for us or someone else or a CPA even. You're going to be paying fees to get that done. If you're owing more than 50 or 100 grand and it may be worth your money to hire a lawyer, particularly if you're going to file an offer and compromise. Now, you can do it all yourself. I'm not saying you need to hire a professional. I'm just trying to give you, should you really consider doing that?
Yeah, I like that. Great points, and I agree. I also want to summarize with this. We're almost done, everybody, and I know this is like eat the broccoli time. I wish we could have made more jokes or something.
I got serious about this, man.
This is serious.
It is. Working with clients in this scenario is hard because we don't love paying the IRS either. I mean, I want you to keep your money you've worked hard to make, but you know, we've got to just know it's our duty. You got to do it. Buckle up. Be honest about it, and just know you're going to make more money tomorrow.
If there's any joke or analogy I can use to try to make light of this, is remember you're in a relationship. And if any of you have been in a relationship, male or female, it takes work. You've got, and you can't cut this off. You cannot get divorced from the IRS. They're that ex-wife, ex-husband that you just wish you could get rid of, you can't. You're in a relationship. They want to know what's going on. You got to touch base at least once a year. And you got to pay your alimony or child support. You do. It's called taxes. So if there's any analogy, you know, if you go on a date, they want to call back. They want to know what's going on. So you're in a relationship. You can't get out of it. You got to keep the communication lines open or it's going to get ugly. Now, I want to give one last example here. Let's say you owe the IRS $20,000. You want to get on an installment agreement. That's cool. You buy the 120 days, still can't come up with the money. You owe the IRS $20,000. And you know they're not going to cut you an offer and compromise. You might have equity in your home. You have a car paid off. You have a few things. The IRS is going to want that equity. They're not going to cut you a deal if you've got equity somewhere. You have a little lot or you own grandma's house. You're not getting out of the 20 grand. So don't even think these phone calls and promises of settling with pennies on the dollar are going to happen. You literally have to be dirt poor before they're going to cut you a deal. So let's say you owe the IRS 20 grand. Your maximum penalty for failure to pay is going to be 25%, 5 grand. Just know it. And you're, that's going to add up at 0.5% per month until you get to 25%. So then you're going to have 6% per year on any in interest on any unpaid balance. So if you even do an installment agreement, they're going to calculate that all into the installment agreement. You're going to get on a 72-month payment plan, and it'll go away in 5 years. And trust me, there's no prepayment penalty. They would love you to pay it sooner.
That's so, 6 years.
Yeah, you win the lottery, you go to Vegas and make some big money, pay off the IRS first. And Matt, isn't that funny? We do have people call up and go, hey, I'm really excited to buy a rental property. We love you guys. We want to fund our Roth and our 401k. And we get on a phone call and we're talking about their business and investing. And then they kind of whisper, and I owe the IRS. We're like, all right, slow down, Tiger.
Yeah.
We're not going to go buy a rental property until we get taken care of the IRS. But I really want to buy a rental property. No. Let's get the IRS off your back before we're going to go out and invest. And so we got to just take care of this.
Yeah. God, so serious. Man, no wonder nobody likes the IRS. God. The last thing I just wanted to add was, and by the way, it's 6 years, 72 months, 6 years.
Oh, yeah, I said 5 years. Sorry.
I'm not the CPA here, but the last thing I just wanted to add is, good tax planning. I wanted to just kind of flip the coin here. Good tax planning is going to minimize this burden. So as you're making good tax planning, you're taking care of keeping your books, you're being organized. I want you to change your mindset. A lot of people who get into this problem of owing the IRS have frankly just been disorganized. And that disorganization is snowballed. So it takes more work to become organized. But if you can be organized and be obsessive about it, try to enjoy it. But remember, the more organized you are, the more you're going to save on taxes. You know what's going on. You're keeping track of your expenses more properly. You're filing on time. You're not paying these ridiculous penalties to the IRS. You get rewarded for that in our tax system. And we want you to be proactive about planning. How can I strategize just to owe less, to do things the right way, to make the income the right way? That's where the fun happens and where you don't end up in this problem of owing the IRS. So just know there's a better way to do it. And once you get through this nasty process of owing the IRS, the fun part is then planning to minimize how much you owe even in the first place.
Yeah. And I'm not a defending or an advocate for the IRS, but I want to say IRS is not the bad guy here. This is a cost of living in a great country. And yeah, we have our problems and we're not great. You just travel around the world a little bit. People will tell you what they don't like about the United States, but still, would you trade it for many other countries? Maybe a few, but not a lot. And so this is the cost of doing business and living in the United States. So the sooner I love what you said, Matt, about getting organized, taking a proactive approach, being on your game, we're going to minimize this from ever happening. So,
yeah. Well, right. Hopefully, if you or a loved one is in a situation like this, share this podcast as an intervention for them to get the IRS off their back. That's what we want to do at the end of the day. Because once this is done, that stress, that burden you've been bearing is gone. We've got a lot of resources on our websites on more about this and different options. Go to kqslawyers.com, markjkohler.com, my website where you can learn more. And make sure you're signed up for the newsletter, which you can do at refreshyourwealth.com. We'll be back next week, man, with another great show, maybe a more exciting topic.
Yes.
I don't know.
We'll do it.
But we, you know, we took one for the team. We talked about paying back the IRS. So thanks for sticking with us.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.